Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here to talk to you about God's love in the gospel. Probably the most popular verse and most read verse in the Bible is John 3:16. Listen to it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, God loved the world. And of course God loved the world. God created the world. God created this universe. God created everything that is in this universe. God created you and me. And he did so in the space of 6 days. And as the Catechism says, he created the world in the space of 6 days, and all very good. But the problem is that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. God gave Adam and Eve a command. God said to Adam and Eve, "You can eat of any of the trees of the garden, but of one tree you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." The devil came along and tempted Adam and Eve, and said to Adam and Eve, "You shall not surely die." And so, first Eve and then Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they died. They died, first of all, spiritually. That's manifest in the fact that they were afraid of God. At first they were in fellowship with God, but now they hid in the garden. And God said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "We were afraid, and so we hid ourselves." This fear came upon Adam and Eve, and eventually Adam and Eve died physically. Death came into the world. The curse of death came into the world. And so, since all of us descend from Adam and Eve, our first parents, we die eventually. And we come into this world as dead in trespasses and sins. We come into this world as dead spiritually, and then we die physically. But God loves the world, even though the world has opposed him. And the idea of the world here in John 3:16 is not just the physical world in which all men and women and young people and children live, but the idea of the world in John 3:16 is that which is in opposition to God, that which is enemy territory, that which is in darkness, that which is the domain of the devil, as the Bible puts it. And so the world is that which is opposed to God. Yet God loves the world. And this love that John 3:16 speaks about is not the little pity-patter of the heart that a young person has when a friend of the opposite sex comes into view. No, it's not a so-called puppy love, which is immature love. It's a mature love, a love that takes action, that's willing to give of itself. This is why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God took action, and his action was to give of himself, that is, to give his only begotten Son. The Son is God, and he is one with God. Of course, we're Trinitarian when we speak this way. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is eternally begotten of the Father. He is not created. He is not made. But as the scriptures here say, he is begotten. And God the Father and God the Son entered into an agreement. The agreement was something like this. God the Father said to God the Son, "If you enter the world and live a perfect life and die a tragic death on the cross to pay the penalty due to the sins of men and women, of people, of human beings, I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. I will give to you, dear son, men and women and young people and children from every tribe and tongue and people and nation on the face of the earth. And God the Son agreed to enter the world then. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son entered the world. He entered the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was born a man. And the Apostle Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, he became obedient, and his obedience was to the point of death. He was obedient to the will of the Father to the point of death. Of course, the will of the Father was that Christ should enter the world and be a perfect sacrifice for the sins of men and women. And that sacrifice would purchase, would ransom, would buy back men and women. They had been sold into captivity, as it were, and were in the captivity of the devil. And now Jesus Christ would be a ransom payment to God, a purchase price for the souls of men and women. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And John 3:16 goes on to say that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have here an additional plank in the argument of the fact that the word world does not refer to every human being on the face of the earth. No. Christ came into the world and was given by the Father so that those who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God does not believe in double jeopardy. And we all know that there are those tragic souls who perish in hell. They refuse to come to Christ. They refuse to believe in Christ. And so they are separated from God and they perish in hell. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in chapter 1 and verse 9, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, think about that for a moment. Destruction away from the presence of the Lord. Now, there's a sense in which you can never escape the presence of God. The psalmist says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I descend into hell, you are there. And this is true. There's not a contradiction here in the Bible. No. If you descend into hell, God is present there in wrath and punishment. And you are away from, separated from the presence of God in heaven. God is present in heaven, not in wrath, but in grace and mercy and love. And so those who enter heaven experience the tremendous love of God, and those who perish, unfortunately, experience the terrible wrath of God. And so John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not enter the precincts of hell, but have eternal life. And what does eternal life mean? Eternal life means enjoying God forever in heaven. Let me read to you a couple of verses from the book of Revelation. In chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The saved who enjoy eternal life will be with the angels in heaven around the throne, giving praise and glory to God. And then in Revelation chapter 21, John says, "I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and I will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." This is the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we're talking about in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The curse of death is overthrown, and in heaven with God before the throne, there is no more crying. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more death, because the first things have passed away." But look at John 3:16 again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, it's those who believe in him, those in the world who believe in Jesus Christ, who do not perish. They are the ones for whom Christ shed his blood. They are the ones whom God promised to give to his Son, Jesus Christ. They are the ones who are drawn out of the world and brought by faith in the Savior to God. Others, unfortunately, must pay the penalty due to their sins themselves. Now, how is it that you know that Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sins? How is it that you know that this is the case for sure? You believe in him. You trust him. You trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the only adequate payment for your sins. And so I say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come to Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. You've heard a little bit about the gospel now. Do you believe what you've heard about the gospel? Do you believe that these things that I've been relating to you are true? Good. I'm glad that this is the case. Now, trust in Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty due to you for your sins. Come to Jesus Christ. This is the burden of John 3:16, and this is the good gospel of God in John 3:16. It is the love of God in the gospel. Listen to the text once again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Come to Christ, dear friend, and be assured that you do indeed have eternal life. Thanks for listening.